All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Proverbs, chapter 20. I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture, Proverbs 20, verse 25. It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. You know, it's the mercy of God that any man, any woman would be warned concerning eternal life, eternal death, that there's a warning given. We know that in ourselves, we know that we don't deserve mercy. If we deserved mercy, it wouldn't be mercy. We deserve condemnation, is what we deserve. And the realization that Almighty God, who was horribly disrespected in the beginning of man's existence, that He would exhibit mercy to sinners such as we are. I read the Scriptures and I think to myself, when I consider someone that's offended me, I think, oh, I'm so glad that I'm not the one that deals with myself or others. When man disobeyed God, here's what's happened. He relinquished, he gave up all hope within himself. All hope of ever in himself being the possessor of eternal life. And he, with complete understanding, Adam knew what he was doing. Eve was beguiled. Satan tricked her. Fooler. But God specifically told Adam, in the day you eat, you're going to die. And die spiritually, he did. By one act of disobedience, this is what man was saying. I will not have God rule over me. I don't care. That's what he said. Man believed the lie, the snare of Satan, and therefore all mankind is now born in trespasses and in sins. And the Scripture says, bondage, in bondage to the curse of the law. Now today I'd like for us to consider again God's word of grace and compassion as God Almighty speaks through the Scriptures. My sheep hear my voice. Well, what do they hear? They hear Him speak through the word as the Spirit of God blesses to them. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are His words. Now what, I mean, the Spirit of God moved Solomon to write the words of Christ. This is what the Lord said. It's a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. Here's what he just said. It's a snare, or it's a bait, or a lure. For the man, when it says devoureth, this is what that word devour. It doesn't mean eat it down. That word devour means to make a rash oath, or to speak hastily concerning that which is sacred, and therefore appointed for God's use, and God's pleasure. And then afterward, after he's made a rash statement, a hasty statement concerning that which is holy, then afterward try to figure out or try to inquire, how am I going to do and satisfy God concerning that which I vowed? How am I going to make good on it? How am I going to accomplish what I said I could do. It's a snare. Now, it's a snare to promise that you can do according to the Scriptures, which only God has said He can do. Now, this is the trap. Here, this is concerning a snare. It's a snare. It's a trap. It's a bait. It's a lure. It's a trap. Here's the trap to which all men born in Adam will succumb. They're be eternally ensnared unless Almighty God intervenes and does something to keep them from eternally leaving this world trapped. And it's the most deadly of all snares. And here is the trap that's being proclaimed in every place where the gospel of God's grace is not being preached. It's that other gospel that I was talking about earlier. And here's what it is. That a man can reconcile himself back to God. Now there's a trap. Here's how the trap sounds. Let me give you a few statements here. Let me tell you what the bait is. Now there's a trap. And it's a trap for a man's soul. Satan is, his preachers make merchandise of men's souls. Now what is the trap? What's the bait? You know you set a trap and you're going to have some bait in it. What's the bait? All right, let me tell you this. Here's one of them. God loves everybody with the same love. That's bait. Now, you know the Scriptures doesn't bear that out. You say, well, God loves everybody. Well, He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Does God have the right to do that? He said, all souls are mine. Can I not do what I will with my own? What if God does leave a man to himself? Does that make God unfair? Now remember, we're the ones that fell in the garden. We're the ones that rebelled against God. But now here's the bait. Christ died for everyone to make salvation possible. That's bait. That's bait. And you know it's not true. Here's the third thing. Man has a free will to choose God's life or reject it. That is the bait of the heinous lie of Satan. It's the bait for the snare of a man's soul. That snare that carries with it condemnation. Eternal separation. Men are being told that they can please God by their own ability, and that is a lie. This snare, this trap, is baited by Satan and proclaimed by his preachers to do nothing less than to play upon and feed man's pride. That's all. That's what it's going after. God loves you. Man says, well, God loves me. Christ died for me. Well, after I've sown my oats and, you know, gotten a little bit of living behind me, I don't want to, you know, give all this up right now. But what I'm going to do is just before I die, I'm gonna give my heart to the Lord. I'm gonna slide in there, right under the bell. Now you say, well, that's kind of foolish. Let me tell you something. I'm just telling you that from experience. I've thought that. I have thought it. I don't wanna give, you know, you only have one life to live. Well, I'm not gonna lose all of it. I'm telling you that is, and it was because men told me that the Lord loves me and He wants to save me. If I'll let Him, well, I want Him to, but not just yet. Not yet. The subtlety of a trap is the insinuation that it's not a trap. That's the subtlety of a trap. You don't know it's a trap. You know, a man goes fishing. I don't nearly fish anymore or hunt anymore like I used to as a kid. But I tell you what I would do. My dad, my brother, and I'd go out there. My dad had a little boat. We'd get out there in the bayous, and, we're going to do some fishing. And what I'd do is I'd take a hook, I'd put a worm on it or a cricket or something like whatever I'm using, and I'd throw it out there. And this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to fool that fish into thinking that I'm your friend. And all I'm doing is giving you something to eat. And it's because I like you. I want to feed you. A hunter put on some camo. Why? Because I'm telling the game, I'm not really here. I'm not in these woods. I'm a tree. I'm a bush. And this rifle or this bow that's got camo on it, it won't hurt you. That's what I'm saying. And the reason I'm quiet is because I just don't want to scare you. I'm your friend. Now, is that oversimplistic? Not really. It's the same concept of Satan. There's a snare. And the bait is a lie. It's a lie. It's untruthfulness. And his method of deception is the same means used by God concerning his preachers. The same means. It's preaching. Why do you think that there's so many places that are meeting today, or Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever other day they meet? Why do you think they're doing this? Preaching. Because it is God's means of calling out his elect. And the deception is they're using the same method. But they're not preaching the same message. The message is different. But it's preaching another gospel, a gospel that gives man instead of God the glory. It's a counterfeit. If I hand you a $20 bill and it's yellow, you may want to look at it. There's something wrong with it. But if I hand you a real counterfeit bill, unless you're trained to know the difference, I'll probably fool you. A lot of people are. Counterfeit money is pretty close to real money. So Satan, through false preachers, always comes in garments of deception. But they're preaching. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? I'm timid. I'm loving. I'm trusting. I have your best at heart. But the Lord said inwardly they're ravening wolves. They always come and twist the scriptures. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm telling you, a lie can always be refuted by the truth. It doesn't matter what they say. They'll come and they'll use the scripture and they'll tell you something. And unless you know the truth, you'll believe it. It sounds real. You know, the scripture says that in Matthew 24:11, many false prophets. I know they're false. I know they are. I know they're here. Because the Lord said they're here. Well, if the Lord said they're here, why do we not believe that they really are here? Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Matthew 24:24, and there shall rise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now let me tell you who they're not going to deceive. The elect that are regenerated by the grace of God. If Almighty God calls a man out of darkness and gives that man an understanding of the truth of salvation totally by the grace of God, nobody's going to come and deceive you. Why? God's going to keep you. But these elect that he's talking about right here are those who are yet called out of darkness. If it were possible, they would be deceived too. Why? They're just sons of Adam, just like everybody else. But Almighty God, His purpose, they're not going to be deceived. The gates of hell shall not prevail against them. The gates of hell shall not close out the Word of God coming to them and saving them by power through the hearing of the truth. Not going to happen. If it were possible, they'd deceive the very elect, but Almighty God's going to have His people. He's going to call them out of darkness. I can tell you that right now. They're everywhere. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, and they shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. If Almighty God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, has shed His blood for someone and has bought them by the putting away of their guilt, Almighty God is going to save them. But that word bought right there doesn't pertain to salvation through the blood of Christ. That word there means exercises dominion over, is what it means. Listen to Deuteronomy 4:32. The Scripture sets forth, wait, Deuteronomy 4:32, let me look that up. I'm going to just read it. Deuteronomy 4:32, 34. The Scripture says that, but ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other whether there hath been any such things as this great thing, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or has God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, or by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was shown that thou mightest know that the Lord is God, there is none beside him. Almighty God exercises dominion over all people. He does not have people out there that He's not in control over. So bought here doesn't mean concerning redemption by the blood of Christ. It's exercising dominion over. And how shall you know them? How are you going to know these false preachers, these false prophets? Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There's no truth. If they don't speak according to this truth, that's how you're going to know. So, what is this message of deception? This message that's being preached and believed by carnal men? In closing, here it is. The message that is a lie, and therefore the means of entrapment of men, is that lie which has men believing that they have the right or the will to rashly speak of those things that belongs only to God. When the Lord said through Jonah, the prophet, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you know what a man deceived will say? Salvation is of me. Salvation is by my choice, not God's mind. That's a rash statement. It means that a man will make a statement, a rash statement. It's a snare to a man that devours, that makes a rash statement concerning that which is holy. And then after, vows to make inquiry. How am I going to get out of this? Do you know when he's going to realize I've made a big mistake? In the day of judgment. When a man stands before God and says, I preached, I cast out devils, I did many wonderful works, And the Lord says unto him, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's a snare. Because when Almighty God cast him out, he's out. Here's these in closing. Here's what they're saying. Here's the trap. Listen. It's the message that tells men that they're not dead in trespasses and sins. If I tell you that you have the ability or the will to do it, this is what I'm saying. You're not really dead. And the scripture says, and you being dead in your sins, hath he quickened. He hath quickened together with Christ, having forgiven you all your transgressions. You hear the words of the Lord Jesus. I read this previously. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, that means the natural mind, the natural man, the natural wisdom profiteth nothing. So the snare is this. You're not really dead. Tell a man that he has a free will to accept, and you're telling him you're not dead. Secondly, the snare in which men are fallen is this. God is not just. God is not just. The Lord told Adam, you shall not eat of... Satan asked Eve, he said this in Genesis 3, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And Satan said unto the woman, God's not just. You're not going to die. You won't die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man by nature that is not sitting under the truth, regenerated by the grace of God, has it in his mind, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die in sin. It doesn't bother him. It doesn't affect him. It doesn't matter. Almighty God is just. And the greatest proof of his justice was witnessed on Calvary's tree. Christ was made sin. He knew no sin. But made sin, Almighty God spewed out wrath upon him. God is a just God and a Savior. He never shows mercy at the expense of justice. Thirdly, I have time to consider this. I can make a decision later. You know, Noah, Scripture says, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He built for 120 years. That's what Genesis 6:3, 120 years shall be the days of man. And the days of man shall be 120 years. He built an ark, took him 120 years to build it. And while he built it, here's what God was saying. A flood is coming. 120 years. And for 120 years, people watched him build that boat and... The long-suffering of God, 120 years. And let me show you what happened in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. This is what happened. 24:36. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Just like right now, this is what we're doing. Look, we're just going to work and just, you know. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, they didn't know, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Here's the snare, here's the bait. You got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. I've got a nice, long, happy life. I'm only in my 60s. I've got plenty of time. There was a man, his wife, that Paul was preaching to, Acts 24. And he heard the truth. Felix was his name, his wife Drusilla. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Here's the lie. Here's the snare. You got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. We'll have services here Wednesday night. Don't worry about it. Next Sunday will be here. Don't worry about it. This church has been here 62 years. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal." A few years ago, I was very, very sick. Had the flu. My temperature was high. And during the night, I got up. And the next thing I know, I was on the floor. And Glenda was talking to me. Bob and Chuck was over there. And I could hear way off somewhere. I could hear Glenda's voice. I knew it was her, but I just couldn't figure out where it was. I never knew I hit the floor. If Almighty God would have taken me, I'd have never known I died until I woke up in eternity. Don't worry about it. You've got plenty of time. And lastly, a man is ensnared when he believes this: I'll never get caught. I'll never be ensnared. It'll happen to others. Bad things always happen to others. It's not going to happen to me. You remember in Proverbs, the man that was walking along, and the Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 7 is where it is. I won't read the whole passage. Proverbs 7 started off in verse 6. "At the window of my house I looked through my casement, beheld the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding, of himself and of God. Passing through the streets near her corner," this woman is a picture of false religion, "he went the way to her house in the twilight, evening, dark of night, he beheld there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She was loud, she was stubborn, her feet abode not in her house. She was without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait. And she vexed him, called him, enticed him, 'Come, lie with me.' Good man, gone. Don't be long time. He ain't coming back anytime soon. Got a big bag of money with him." And the Scripture sets forth, "He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and he knoweth not that it was for his life." Listen, the greatest of all snares is the lie that's being told concerning this false gospel. But according to the mercy and grace of God, I want you to hear last verse, Psalm 91, this is the last one, concerning the great promise of Jehovah to His people, to His elect, of everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." Not me, not my ability, not my will. He's my refuge. He's my God. In Him will I trust. "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side of 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Are you telling me that there are those that will die in trespasses and sins? Those that are born just like I am? Those that know not the Lord? Because Almighty God was pleased to leave a man to himself, and God Almighty is going to have mercy on somebody like me? Yeah. The world will tell you that this is the most unfair message they've ever heard in their life. And I'm going to tell you, according to these scriptures, that this is the truth of God's sovereign grace. What'll I do? Whosoever will, let him come. You believe God? Cast yourself upon His mercy. If you have a heart to come, I'm going to tell you where you got that will. He made you willing in the day of His power. If He left you to yourself, you wouldn't want to come. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts for His sake, our good. Amen.